This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The Kakadu Plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about biryani.
Yes. So, as alluded to in our recent listener mail episode, this is the quickest I gave in to a craving.
Yeah, you're usually pretty good about that, actually. I feel like of the two of us, like I'll be like, oh, I need that immediately. And then I order it. And you're like, no, I'm going to eat my sad single packet of ramen. And
my happy single packet of ramen. So I had run out of food. I knew I needed to order food that night. So it was kind of extenuating circumstances. I was going to order a food no matter what. But this was, I mean, within an hour of the research starting, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's just
that's what I need. And it was delicious.
Oh, yay.
And it was so warm and like full of spices and textures. And I hadn't had it in so long. It was just so very comforting and savory and warm. Ooh, it was good.
Yeah, I also have ordered some during this research process. Oh my goodness, it is one of the things that I probably crave the most.
Oof.
Period.
It is good. Yeah, I ordered mine. There was like a 5 level of spice you could choose from. And I did level 4. That might have been a mistake. it was enough to get the tears a little flowing, the nose a little
running.
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah, but it's funny because you can't tell with restaurants. Sometimes the 4 is maybe a 3, you know?
And it depends on the cook who's in that day. Like, right. Like I've ordered from the same places around town, and sometimes it's just like, it's just going to burn your face off. And sometimes they're like, we're going to pull back on that. And I'm like, oh no, which one? Mm-hmm. It's a fun surprise though. I'll take that. That's, you know, on the scale of like surprises, that's a great one.
Yeah, I agree. It was a moment, a learning experience for me, though, because it's been a long time since I've been kind of cowed by spice. But it's like, ooh, I'm going to have to take my time on this one.
Get a little extra Raita in there, yeah.
Yes, yes. I definitely poured that whole thing in there. and yes, I did have so much good biryani in India. It was one of the very first things I ordered. And it came out in this lovely pot. And it smells so heavenly. Like when you opened it, kind of steam came out. Ooh, it was so delicious. People were jealous at the table. People were jealous of my order. But yeah, the cravings, like even that I've had it, I would like some more.
Yeah, I like have some leftovers in my fridge and I still like every moment that I am not eating it while I'm doing this reading, I was just like, I should go get some more biryani. Like, why?
Why am I not doing that?
Why am I not eating it right now? I could be.
I agree, Lauren. If we can, it's going to be our first eating podcast and everyone will immediately unsubscribe. Except for a select few, and I am not judging you.
No. You do you.
You do you. You can see our past episodes we've done on rice. I think our saffron episode is probably relevant. Several spice episodes we've done probably relevant, but
yeah, definitely.
Those were the two that came to my mind. But I guess this brings us to our question.
Uh-huh.
Biryani. What is it?
Well, biryani is a one-pot rice-based main dish, fragrant and pungent with herbs and spices and studded with chunks of tasty things. It's like a spicy sauceless risotto, like a fried rice that's baked or steamed instead of fried, like a steamed South Asian paella. Like a pilaf that wants you to live your best life.
Aw, thanks, pilaf.
I know, right?
Oh, the cravings are starting already.
Right? Oh my goodness. All right. The star of the dish here is that rice. It's not sticky at all. Every grain is al dente and separate and well-seasoned and perfect. Basmati is often used, basmati rice. It's a long grain rice that doesn't puff up very much when it cooks and has a nutty and slightly floral scent. The seasonings that you use with it can include things like cardamom, cinnamon, cloves, bay, nutmeg, black pepper, fennel seed, star anise. You're usually also adding a punch of flavor from caramelized onions in there and some color and flavor from stuff like turmeric and saffron. Oh, turmeric, there you go, another episode in there. And some brightness from fresh herbs like mint and cilantro, maybe some citrus even. It's a mix that's floral and warm and earthy. And the chunks of tasty things can be a whole range of stuff, though chicken or lamb or mutton or goat are perhaps the most common. Hard-boiled egg, vegetables like eggplant and paneer, which are, like springy blocks of fresh cheese, are also pretty popular. Or fish or shrimp or jackfruit or kofta, like meatball sausage kind of stuff. Anything. Especially if you're using meat, you're generally going to marinate it in stuff like yogurt, ginger, garlic, chilies, maybe tomato. And that marinade is going to wind up providing a good bit of the cooking liquid that you use for the rice. Beyond that, these are kind of like basics, quote unquote, because there are dozens and dozens of styles of biryani. It's one of those dishes that every region and every family has like a correct way to make. Mm-hmm. And so, like local grains and proteins and vegetables are going to be used based on availability and preferences. But then, like, I don't know, like, do you use whole or ground spices? Do you add in a layer of dried fruit and crunchy nuts for contrast? Do you add in a layer of potato? Now, what's the liquid component? Is it water, stock, milk, coconut milk? Do you put rose water in there? I don't know. Do you par cook various ingredients before adding them together? The spelling and pronunciation can differ. It can be biryani.
No.
I don't come for me. I don't have an opinion about this. I'm just reporting. it is a biryani without meat, just a pilau.
I'm nervous.
I again, I am only reporting. I have my hands up. It's just, you know?
Yeah. I feel like this is a test. Okay.
I love these things that people have such beautifully strong opinions about.
Yes, I do as well.
At any rate, a style of low and slow cooking called dum is usually employed here, or I'm going to say almost always, yes, in which you assemble your ingredients either par cooked or raw in layers in a deep pot with just enough cooking liquid so that when you seal it with a heavy lid, as in a Dutch oven, or more traditionally with a ring of dough, everything will just gently steam to perfection. It does take a while, though. This is not like a quick weeknight thing, but like a celebration sort of dish, or at the very least, like a Sunday supper kind of thing. It's served hot, sometimes, yes, straight from the pot that you like open at the table to get that sensory experience of the steam coming off. And might be topped with more fresh herbs, slices of onion, raw or fried, maybe a wedge of fresh lemon or lime for squeezing. It is often served with raita, which is a sauce made from yogurt and a little bit of usually crunchy veg like a cucumber, seasoned with herbs and spices like mint and coriander. It's meant to be cooling in contrast, right, with the spice of the biryani. And I have not tried making it, but I've heard that it's difficult to get right. And it's a little bit like nail biting at the end there when you crack open the cooking vessel, which helps explain why it might be like a popular restaurant order.
Yeah.
And more on that in a second.
Yeah. It sounds intense to me.
Yes. Yeah. All the recipes that I found are like, okay, like dig in, because like these, like here are all of the preparations for all of the ingredients and this is what you want to do with them and be very careful about it. And I'm like, oh no.
Good luck. See if you make it. Well, what about the nutrition?
You know, it depends on what you make it with, perhaps, obviously. I've had versions that are a little bit heavier with a lot of ghee, clarified butter, you know, and I've had versions that are a little bit lighter tasting. But, you know, it's a very carb and protein heavy dish generally. And so, you know, as always, eat a vegetable. But yeah, like really good, like comfort, like stick to your ribs kind of food.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. I got one, I would assume, a standard medium non-large order, and it lasted me 3 days.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It is so good. Ah! Well, we're not the only ones that think that. We do have some numbers for you.
We do.
According to numbers collected from food delivery platform Swiggy and reported on by Times of India, quote, Indians ordered an average of 95 biryanis per minute or 1.6 biryanis per second in 2019.
And that was the third year in a row that it was Swiggy's most ordered dish.
Dang.
Yeah. and that number might have actually gone up during COVID lockdowns that began, of course, in 2020, because reports began just pouring in that biryani was the most ordered takeaway / delivery dish of the lockdown in India. Butter naan being a runner-up along with a masala dosa, which is like a savory rice and lentil crepe kind of situation that can be stuffed with various things. Anyway, these are all generally popular restaurant orders. But another number that I read was that some 70% of those biryani orders came from people living alone. And psychologists were talking a lot about that and about the trend in general, about biryani being just such like a nostalgic, festive, like one dish comfort food. You know, like if you're only going to order one thing, it's just such a nice, single, simple, like, yep, I'm just gonna put that on my face now, kind of. But also lovely and like something I read a lot about it being something that people remember from parties from their childhood and just having that nostalgia factor.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. If you're isolated and living alone during the quarantine, that you would seek out a dish that reminds you of
These happy people. Yeah. Right. People populated times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have some history for you.
We do. But first, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, probably no surprise, but the history of biryani is one full of twists and turns.
Oh, yes.
And to be honest, like, there are several... When we do these dish episodes, it's hard not to get lost in where every ingredient came from and how it all came together eventually. And, you know, we try to touch on that, but it's just a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And this one in particular having, like, so many different regional variations. And mm-hmm. we have gone into this, in our episodes about stuff like paella or jambalaya or stuff like that, where it is such a intrinsically multicultural dish. And and so... You know, like, but like basmati rice is a different episode. But
yeah,
but it's also not always made with basmati rice. So, like, how much do you go into that kind of thing in the history part of, right? You know.
Yes. And I suspect the listeners are well aware as well. But okay, while popular historical retellings credit the Mughal invaders who ruled over India from the 15th to 19th centuries with introducing the dish there, and yes, whether it originated in India or not, it is famously associated with India.
Uh-huh.
Many historians believe a similar rice dish was present in India before the Mughal rule. As early as the 2nd century CE, though some sources put it even earlier, there are written mentions of a rice dish in southern India composed of rice, ghee, meat, spices like pepper, turmeric, and coriander and bay leaf that was present there. It was a filling dish used to feed soldiers, according to these sources. Mm-hmm. One popular legend suggests that Turk Mughal conqueror Timur brought an early version of biryani to India in 1398, and that he introduced the dish to his soldiers as a substantial part of their diet. Records describe earthen pots of rice and available spices and meats that were buried in hot pits for cooking and then dug up for the eating. Obviously, the contents of the pot, not the pot actually, but
right.
When this dish arrived in India, it was made spicier in this version of events of the biryani timeline. Mm-hmm. Yes. Numerous cultural influences contributed to the dish, yes, and Islamic Persians frequently get the credit for popularizing it, and some historians even posit that the dish is in fact from Persia or modern-day Iran. In this case, it may have arrived in India with Persian travelers. A part of the reason scholars think this is that the name is often traced to the Persian words for fried rice, or fried before cooking, depending on where you read it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the realm of almost certainly legend, one story goes that Shah Jahan's queen, Mumtaz Mahal, who was the inspiration for the Taj Mahal, was also the inspiration for biryani.
Okay.
Uh-huh. The story goes that sometime between the late 1500s and early 1600s, she visited the army barracks and found that a majority of the soldiers were undernourished. Determined to fix the issue, she went to the chef in charge and asked him to create a nutritionally balanced dish, and biryani was the result. Again, probably not true. I mean, who knows? But I'm going to say probably not true.
Yeah.
Yes. The rice in this story was fried in ghee and unwashed so as to prevent clumping. The desired meats and spices were added in, and the mixture was cooked over an open fire. So, sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And while the original Persian biryanis, if that is where they originated, may have been more subtly spiced, they became certainly these very distinctive, very specialized party dishes in the hands of cooks working in India and in wealthy households and clubs in the 1700s and 1800s.
The clubs.
Yes, these nightclubs. Oh my, I was saying to Annie before we started recording, I almost went on this like multi-hour deep dive into different layers of culinary history of cooks and chefs from around that time, and like this one like class of cooks, the kansamas, and I couldn't. I was like, this is not this is not the research for today, but it's fascinating. And, yes. And right, and these the concept of these like 19th century nightclubs that were famous for these particular cooks who were not classically trained, but who like all had their own very flashy style. And so anyway, that's just a little tidbit. Maybe hopefully we'll come back to it because I really want to read more about it.
Yes, and I would love to learn more about it. So hopefully, yes. But related to that, in these early days, biryani may have been viewed as a dish for the rich and for royalty, perhaps even served on dishes of gold and silver. Mm-hmm. And yes, remember ingredients like saffron that became commonplace in biryanis were expensive at that time. Still expensive now, to be honest.
But, oh, yeah, you know. Sure.
But that image changed, and as it spread throughout the region, this dish was adapted to local ingredients and taste, including the type of rice that was used. Mm-hmm. An anglicized version of curry started popping up in the late 18th century and early 19th century in the UK. And some of these anglicized Indian recipes included pilau, similar to pilaf, but not biryani. And looking at more modern times, researchers have pointed out that biryani is lacking on UK menus. And they argue this is in part because of a shortcutting of Indian recipes, only utilizing four or five sauces to make every item on an Indian restaurant menu in the UK beginning in the 1960s. Sort of like it's a complicated dish, I guess, is what they were saying.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, and especially people who weren't Indian in heritage, were kind of like, okay, I'm just not going to try that one then. That's too much.
Huh. Yeah, makes sense. Skipping ahead a bit, in the 20-teens in India, biryani became a little bit of a spark point in discussions surrounding Hindu nationalism and the Muslim minority in that country.
Yeah, and then another avenue where biryani became not necessarily a spark point. This is definitely not as serious, but it was featured in a 2015 BuzzFeed India article called 23 Reasons Having Biryani is Better Than Having a Boyfriend. And that article came with this quote, "Stop chasing after a bae and get yourself a biryani."
Oh my goodness. That is
delightful. I had to include it. I had to.
You did. You know, you were morally obligated to. I get yes. you. Oh, wow. This doesn't have a pun in it. I'm sorry. But in 2017, a series of 24 dishes from the city Hyderabad were featured on postage stamps in India. And that included the local or a local version of biryani.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Getting a craving via stamp.
Right?
What a time to be alive.
Oh, it's sort of mean. I mean, mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
No, but that means we're kind of mean, don't you think?
Yeah. That's what everyone says about us.
Oh, no. We just want to share the joy of biryani with you.
Oh, no, the cravings. Yeah, I have not had my, like, leftover biryani yet today. I knew that recording this episode was going to be a whole thing. So, so that is pretty much what we have to say about it for now. And
Yes. Ooh, well, I'm jealous of you because my leftovers are long gone. But yes, we do have some listener mail for you.
We do, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too.
So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. Yeah. Warm hug. And we have two, not one, but two letters from listeners on Team Candy Heart.
Ooh, okay.
We called and you answered, and we're so glad that you did.
Always.
Yes. Diana wrote, every year for the last few years, I've made conversation hearts from scratch.
Ooh.
It started as cute merchandise to give to guests at the restaurant where I worked. During the pandemic, I've sold pastry boxes of treats for Valentine's Day, and I continue including conversation hearts. The batch I made weighs about 3 pounds, about 1.3 kilos. It's tedious to color, flavor, roll, cut out all the hearts, and write them all by hand. But they're so iconic that I'm okay with doing it once a year. Plus, it gives me the chance to write DTF on a tiny piece of candy. Hope you have a great February 14th, no matter how you choose to spend it.
Oh,
I love that so much. And Diana sent in pictures. They're so cute.
Yes.
They're so cute. Oh, I bet they are time consuming though.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is always that like, well, it's once a year.
Right.
And it's so fun when it's over.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Right.
I think we all have something like that we were like, well, okay.
Only this one time per year. Yeah, but I love that. I love that it's like iconic and people look forward to your creation. It's very lovely.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie wrote, I just finished your classic Candy Hearts episode. At the end, you asked anyone who actually likes Candy Hearts to write in. So I am here to answer your call and advocate on behalf of this seasonal delight. To be honest, I'm not entirely sure what it is that draws me to them, but there is something about the way they crack when you bite down on them and the chalkiness they leave behind that's so satisfying to me. I'm certainly not in it for the messages. I don't even bother to read them before I eat them. Ooh. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Though candy hearts are not my most favorite candy overall, I do feel very strongly about the flavors. The only real candy hearts, as far as I'm concerned, are the ones that come in grape, cherry, orange, lime, banana, and wintergreen. All right. All right. I know banana and wintergreen, which were the best flavors, in my humble opinion, have been discontinued, so this combo is getting really hard to find. Because of this, I realize the boxes I'm finding that include them may very well be from old batches, but I love them and I will continue to hunt them down. The blue raspberry ones that replaced the white mint ones are blasphemy. I managed to find some of the tiny elementary school Valentine size boxes in the original flavors this year that I purchased without hesitation, and I'm carefully rationing. Love the podcast and you guys, in spite of your aversion to candy hearts.
Aw, thank you.
Oh, wow. I feel like there are some fiery opinions in that one. I like it.
Yes, I adore all of this. I love you've got your specific flavor combo.
Yeah.
I love you don't read the messages. That is hilarious to me.
This is great.
Forget it. Be mine, never. Just eat it. I don't care.
Be mine wintergreen. Don't care what you say about it. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So my friend, I got to see a good friend of mine recently for the first time in a minute. And she had a whole case of these like mini.
Oh, wow. The little boxes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't take any because, as I said, they're not really my thing. But I'm going to contact her and see what the flavor combo is she's got going. Because she might be in ownership of something that might be worth something.
Hey.
To some people.
To someone.
Yeah. Yes, you know.
I say with garbage. A shrug and mild confusion. No, yeah. No. Again, hey, like every time someone finds something that makes them happy, I am happy for them. And, you know, y'all can have my lifetime supply of candy hearts. So go for it.
So kind. So kind.
I'm a giver. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But seriously, this has been a delight hearing from people on Team Candy Heart. Mm-hmm. So keep those messages coming. Mm-hmm. So thanks to both of those listeners for writing to us. If you would like to write to us, you can. You can email us at hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks as always to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.